This is Justin Michael Williams, and welcome to the Kingdom Podcast. I am enough. I am golden, baby. I am enough. I am enough. This is for everyone. All beliefs are welcome here. And so it doesn't matter if you call it God, spirit, the universe, crystals, science, or unicorns. You are welcome here. This is our moment to connect to something greater. This is our moment to remember how powerful we really are. Welcome to the kingdom. We begin each session with a prayer. Let's begin. So let's get in here. Let's get in here now with our personal prayer and our prayer and our time to connect into that space of something greater, something that we can all connect into beyond our beliefs, beyond our religions, but to that something greater. And when you come into this for this whole session, I invite you to give yourself permission to bring your full attention here. So many of us, okay, so many of us get distracted. Take this time for you, because today's teaching is a big one, and the exact message you're meant to hear that you need, you're going to end up, that's going to be the moment when you text in somebody, okay? So pay close attention, and let's start with our prayer. Hands over the heart. If you'd like, or you can put them in the little prayer mudra, but I like to place mine here, bringing together the sun and the moon, the air and the sky and the earth, heaven and earth, all together here in the heart. Let's pray. God, spirit, universe, all that has been, all that is, and all that ever will be, we thank you. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for keeping us healthy and safe. Thank you for protecting this technology so that we can all hear and be here together in this space when there's so much disintegration and separation in the world. We ask that today, specifically today, that you open our hearts and our minds so that we may hear exactly the message we were meant to hear today. We ask that you give us permission, give our minds permission to slow down, to take it in, to be here now, and to remember there's nowhere to rush to and nowhere to go. May the lives and the grace that we experience today reach the lives with grace of all the people we come in contact with. We thank you, Spirit, for bringing us together. May we all be well. May we all thrive. Go ahead and invite in your personal prayer now. God, spirit, universe, all that is, all that ever has been, all that ever will be, we thank you. May we support one another in this community. May the new people who are here feel welcomed into this global tribe from 5 continents all over the world. And may we remember that we are enough. We thank you. We love you. So it is. Ashe, Aho, Salam, Amen, Sat Nam, Om. Thank you. So I am so excited about this session today. This is a big one, and I've actually infused some new teachings in here that I've never taught before, so I'm very excited about that too. And so today's kingdom is on the power of fear. the power of fear, and the seven forms of fear. Those of you who heard about me talk about fear before know I've talked about five. We got seven forms of fear now. And how understanding the difference between fear and faith can change your life. How understanding the difference between fear and faith can change your life. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully, because one of the things that I'm often hearing from people constantly, okay, is this. I remember when I was first teaching this and someone said to me, well, I heard fear isn't real. And if fear isn't real, then why is it so powerful? And why can't I just get over it? Why can't I just get rid of my fears? And here's what I have to tell you, okay? This is probably the most important thing. You ain't gonna get anywhere if you don't understand what I'm saying right now. Fear is real. It is real. It's not fake. This is a real emotion, a real sensation that we feel embodied in our physical body. And so don't believe these Instagram self-help quotes and memes that you hear that say fear isn't real and positive vibes only and all this stuff. Because when we pretend that we're not afraid, when we pretend that we're strong enough, like we're being too strong and we're just gonna get through it and we're not afraid, that's when it stops us. That is when it stops us. And the time when fear normally creeps into your life is when it's time to take action, when it's time to do something different, when it's time to grow, when it's time to change, when it's time to evolve. That is when fear creeps in to stop you. And I'm using the word creeps on purpose, because you're gonna see that these seven forms of fear, six of them in particular, come incredibly hidden. They're what I call the hidden forms of fear. And when you don't have these hidden forms of fear on point, and what I mean by on point is in check, then they can absolutely stop you. And I see y'all throwing up your hands, okay, and throwing your smiley faces in. Don't forget to throw those up, okay? Now, this is important. Listen to me so carefully. Fear and faith are the same thing. Both fear and faith require you to believe in something that you can't see and that doesn't exist yet. You guys might want to take a screenshot of that, write it down, take a picture of it. I'm going to say it again. Both fear and faith require you to believe in something that you can't see and that doesn't exist yet. They're the flip side of the same coin. But this is a big coin, okay? This is a big coin, because on one side of the coin is fear. And fear is choosing to believe in demise. But faith is choosing to believe in possibility. Do you hear me? Fear is choosing to believe in demise, and faith is choosing to believe in possibility. Now, this is super important, because when we talk about fear and faith, okay, I need you to understand this very clearly, that fear, when we're choosing to be afraid, when we're going down that path, it's stopping us from our growth and it's stopping us from change. But the uncertainty on the other end of that is just as uncertain as if you have faith. And I'm not talking about faith, I'm not even talking about religious faith. I'm not even talking about spiritual faith. I'm talking about faith. You know, let me look it up right now. I should have looked this up earlier. Faith, definition. I'm looking it up right now. Complete trust. This is a definition of faith. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust. Okay? And I love this. Colleen, this is one that I've heard all the time. Fear, if you look at it as an acronym, false evidence appearing real. And I'm gonna get into these seven forms of fear with you in just a moment. But what I wanna do first, because this is important, is remember that you don't get rid of fear. And you don't overcome fear. You learn to prove it wrong. And the saying that I've come up with that I do in my life over and over. Anybody who's close to me knows this. Alonzo, who's here, my mom, who's here, people who are here, they know this about me, and I'll call this into everyone's spirit who I personally know when I see that they're in fear, is this. I'm scared, but I'm doing it anyway. I want you to feel that. When fear comes up for you, this is what you have to say. It's not, I'm not afraid. I don't feel fear. Fear's not real. I'm just ignoring it. I'm all good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. It's not that. It's, I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to fail. I'm scared people are going to think I'm not good enough. I'm scared I'm going to be judged. I'm scared I'm going to be ridiculed. I'm scared I'm going to be put in the out group. I'm scared I'm not going to show up and perform in my best way in whatever it is. I'm scared it's not going to work out. I'm scared that I'm not ready. But I'm doing it anyway. That's it. This is the way through fear. Because what I want you to know is that fear and creativity are conjoined twins. Now, when I'm talking about conjoined twins, I found this little picture. I literally mean like, you know, the twins that are connected in their physical body, okay? Fear and creativity are conjoined twins. Now, I want you to look at the way that I wrote the word creativity here, okay? Creativity. Because I'm not talking, I want you to separate. I'm not talking about creativity as in art. I'm not talking about creativity as in being a creative or an artist. I'm talking about creation, create. And what you are creating right now in every moment when you are choosing fear or you're choosing faith, what you're creating right now in every moment is your most important creation of all. You're creating your life. And so when you want to grow, when you want to evolve, when you want to change, when you want to step into that part of your life, whether it's about your body or your health or your money or your relationships or your art or your business or any other part of your life, when you're trying to step forward, and I know you're thinking of an area of your life that you want to step forward into right now, you are creating. And so anytime we create, I need you to understand that it comes with fear. Just like these conjoined twins. They come together, attached at the hip. Okay, anytime you try to do something where you're creating or growing or doing something new, creativity comes in like, hey boo, hey girl, we're gonna create, we have this new idea. And then fear is like, you know, like I'm right here, you know, at the same exact time. And I need you to understand this, that they come together anytime you're doing something new to grow. You can expect fear to come along for the ride. And when you expect it to come along for the ride, just like these conjoined twins, then you know that you can't pretend you're not afraid. You can expect to be afraid and know that you're gonna do it anyways. You're bringing both the twins, okay, along for the ride. And now listen to this. Before I get into the seven forms, I need you to understand this very clearly. Just because you face your fears does not mean it's going to turn out the way you expect. Just because you face your fears doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way you expect. And this is hard for people because a lot of times we think, well, if I do it, if I show up for that performance, if I show up for that relationship, if I show up and do the thing, then I step past my fears and it's going to turn out good. And if it doesn't turn out the way you expected, then we recoil and we say, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not gonna do that again. That relationship, that worked out, that didn't work out. The time I performed, that didn't work out. The time I tried that business, that didn't work out. And because it didn't work out the way we expected, we think that we've had a failure, and then we stop trying. And I need you to understand why I'm saying this right now. Because one of the ways through fear, this is one of my number one tips, and when I learned this, it changed everything that I do in my life, is you don't just focus on the outcome when you're stepping through your fears. It's not about did I win or did I lose? Did I do well or did I do poorly? It's not about the outcome. Focus on who you are becoming as you step past your fears. Everything you face, every fear that you face, makes you stronger. Makes you stronger for next time. It makes you more ready for the next time. And so this is essential to us understanding, okay? I love this. Mary Teresa said, fear comes along for the ride, but you don't have to let it drive. That's it. Elizabeth Gilbert says this in Big Magic. I love it. You do not have to let it drive the car. You put it in the back seat and say, all right, fear, you're coming. You could talk, you could scream, you could do whatever you want, but I'm not taking any direction from you. I think that's one of the metaphors she uses. And so I'm giving this to you because so often we say, well, I'm going to face this fear, I'm going to try this thing, and it doesn't turn out the way we expect, and so then we stop ourselves. We say, well, last time this is what happened, so I'm not going to do that again. But what you have to recognize is if you're focusing on who you've become in pursuit of your vision of facing your fear, then you'll notice the growth and you'll get better and better every single time. So let's continue. I feel like something wants to come through that I haven't written, don't have in my notes, but let me just feel it for 1 second. Ah, there it is, okay. I want everybody to put your hands over your heart right now. Close your eyes for a second. Let's make this real for you. I want you to think of one area of your life. Just pick one for now. I know you might have many where you're afraid. Even if you haven't named it as fear before, an area of your life where you're trying to grow. You're ready to evolve. You're ready to step into the next level. Whether it's about relationships or work or business or your art or creativity or your passions or your body or your spirituality, a risk, a move, a big change or a small change. And then open your eyes and type into the chat box. Let's name it here in this community. Let's hold each other in this space. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? I have many things that I'm afraid of. And I'll tell you about several of them as we go through these 7 forms of fear. And it's so important to name it because that's the first step, because oftentimes we feel like we're alone on this path and that we're the only ones who are afraid. And we're gonna wrap and hold each other in this space of love as we learn to unlock them. And you may have new fears, you may have new fears that you notice as we're going through these 7 forms of fear that I'm gonna start typing in right now. So what we're gonna get into now are the 7 forms of fear and exactly how to spot them in your life, okay? So let's begin. I'm gonna get right into this. And the first form of fear, we're gonna go through all 7 and I'll recap them for you at the end. The first form of fear is called real fear. Real fear. And by real fear, I mean it's actual fear that's here to save your life. Okay? And this kind of fear is the kind of fear that we want to pay attention to. The fear that's here to save your life. And, you know, I have a story about this that will give you an example. Okay? I'll give you a super clear example. This is one that I haven't shared a lot. So this was a big fear for me. And then I'll show you how this connects to the next one. So when I was a kid, you know, many of you know, and I've told the story, that I grew up in a home with domestic violence, and there's been a lot of healing since then. And when we were in a bout of domestic violence between, you know, my mother, who's here and who's done so much healing with me that I'm so grateful for, but with domestic violence between my mother and my stepfather, when we were in one of those intense bouts, what we would often have to do after we kind of left the house, you know, after something happened, is we would come back home and we would check all the closets and all the doors and under all the beds to see if my stepdad was like hiding somewhere, if he was gonna pop out and do something. And so we got into this habit, right, of like checking everything, like hypervigilantly checking everything under the beds, in the closets, behind things, things that he couldn't have even fit in, okay, to make sure that he wasn't there so that we could come back home and go to sleep, you know, before going to school in the morning or something like this. And so that was a real fear, right? That was a real actual fear that was useful in that time. And you all will have fears in your life, moments that have come up in your life where you're hiking and you see a bear, or, you know, somebody's attacking you, or you're in an abusive relationship, or something goes on where you have an actual real fear that is serving you, and it's here for a reason. It's here to protect you. And the reason why I'm talking about this, okay, is because it relates to the second form of fear, which is what I call an echo fear. Okay, so the first fear, and I want somebody to type this in to make sure you all get it. Okay, the first form of fear is called real fear. Everybody type it in so you can remember it, okay? The second form of fear is called echo fear. Echo fear. And the reason why this is called echo fear is because it's based upon the fear that you had from the past. And even though that fear from your past isn't present in your current reality, you're still acting as if it is. Okay? So let me tell you how this relates so personally to what I just was talking about with you all. So I told you the story of when I was a kid and what we did sometimes. Now, as an adult, okay, as an actual adult, my house that I lived in for the last 4 years, like, was on a tall, it's on not on the first floor of a building, okay, up on the third floor of a building, and it was two stories. And so, in moments, I would come home, okay, this happened to me so many times, I would come home, and I would walk in the house, and I would look in the closets, and I would look under the bed after I came back from a long trip. And if I was laying in bed at night and I heard a noise somewhere up in the fourth floor of the house, okay, fourth floor of this building, I would go run upstairs and look out the window, making sure the window was locked, as if Spider-Man was literally scaling the fourth floor of our building to get into my house, okay? Like, it's just completely unrealistic. Like, nobody is scaling the outside of this flat building to come in the fourth floor, all right? And so this is important. Because that's it. Echo fear, like Magdalena said, is like PTSD, okay? And so what happens is you end up taking these actions that are completely out of alignment with your reality. I'll give you another example. Right now, and this is a super, as relevant as possible, and this is what actually inspired me to teach this to you all today. So I'm in Asheville, North Carolina right now. And this is the first big trip out of California, actually, that I've taken since the uprising of the George Floyd protests and Breonna Taylor and Black Lives Matter has really taken the stage that it's taken in our minds over the last several months. And I land in North Carolina, and I'm the only Black person on the freaking airplane, and then I get to North Carolina, and I'm in the Uber, and there's like all these Make America Great Again, like Trump signs everywhere, and I was terrified, fear running through my veins. So I get to Asheville, I'm here with my friends, in Asheville, so people who don't know about Asheville, Asheville, North Carolina is like, it's like a little haven here. Like it's super progressive, they have Black Lives Matter signs everywhere. At my friends who are staying here, the Black neighbors they're the first city in the United States ever that have voted to pass a law for reparations for African Americans from slavery here in Asheville, North Carolina. Okay, so different from the whole state, but this city. So I'm in Asheville, I'm safe, okay, I'm safe. Yesterday, I was on a walk around the neighborhood. I was terrified, even though there were Black Lives Matter signs everywhere. I felt fear walking by myself on a hike because of what was happening in the media and the news. Now, the reality is here, I'm safe. And the reality is, to be honest with you, okay, super honest with you all, I've oftentimes, many times, like for my whole life, been the only Black person in lots of spaces. I've been to Vermont, I've been to Oregon, I've been to places where people were super outright racist, and I've never felt that level of terror that I was feeling running through my veins, where I feel like I couldn't even see straight when I got here to Asheville. Now, the reason I'm saying this is the echoes of fear sometimes come from your personal past, but they also sometimes come from the media, or come from thoughts, or come from beliefs that are not serving you anymore. Hello, Tyree, I see you here. And so this is super important, right? Because I'm somebody who's teaching the damn liberation experience, okay? And I was terrified. I had to call one of my mentors. I had to call Brenda. Y'all know Brenda now, so I can say that. She gave me this tapping. She gave me this whole practice to do, and I cleared it and came back to the truth of who I am. And what fear does, what the echo of fear does to us, is it takes us away from the truth of who we are. Because that's not who I am. I'm not actually even a person who believes that all these people are like going to kill me. Like I'm actually not that person. But it gave me incredible compassion for what other African American people traveling all over the world might feel, right? If they didn't have the context that I even have of growing up in a family where half of my family is white. And so these echoes, they come in from your past. So that's where the PTSD, but the reason I don't call it PTSD is because it also comes in from the media and from stories and from social media. They echo into your life. And even though they're not real, it's not real. I'm safe. I'm fine. We end up having it affect our lives and affect our actions and affect our growth. All right? All right, y'all. So this is the second one. Echoes of fear. Now, let's move on to the third form of fear. Okay, and these are going to be a little bit easier for you to identify, but I really wanted to point out those two, that fear is real, and then those echoes end up stopping us. So I want you to think about the areas of your life, before I move on to perfectionism, where echoes of something that's happened in your past, a relationship, a trauma, the media, is controlling what you do now. Because now is not the past, okay? So let's move on to perfectionism. Perfectionism is one that I don't have to explain too much, right? How many scripts and music videos and songs and ideas and all the different things, relationships, dating. So many of you said you were afraid of dating and getting into a relationship. How many of those situations have you paused on or stopped on because of the simple fact that you feel that it's not perfect yet, or most importantly, that you're not perfect yet? That's real. This is real. This is not judgment. I'm telling you this in a way of love so that you can spot these things and know when they're coming up. When fear comes up, listen to me. When fear comes up, it comes disguised. I'm gonna turn this music down so y'all can hear me straight through, okay? When fear comes up, it comes disguised. It doesn't come like, hey, I'm fear. I'm just going to stop you from your dreams and your goals and your growth. So just, I'm going to be here and I'm just going to stop you. Just listen to everything I say. It doesn't come that way. It comes disguised, and the echoes are one of the disguises. And all these other versions I'm going to tell you are the disguises. So the disguise of this one is perfectionism. You think you're trying to get it right. You think you just have to wait till it's perfect. You think that you can only start dating once you lose weight. You think that somebody's only going to love you once you fix these traumas. You think that we have to be perfect to start or do or finish the thing or put it out. But my mantra is forever, y'all, done is better than perfect. Now, this doesn't mean you put out half-assed stuff. This doesn't mean that you don't continue growing. But the way to really grow is to step in, is to step all the way in, do something, and then get feedback from what you've done. And once you have the feedback from what you've done, then you can actually grow and move to the next level, instead of being stuck in these perfectionist cycles. Perfectionism is a big one. And so when you feel that perfectionism come up, you'll notice it's a slight change in the sensation in your brain and in your body. When you're just doing something, you're like, ooh, this is good. I'm being creative. I want to get this right. There's a switch. And I know Tony, and I know so many of you who are creative know this. There's a switch when it turns into perfectionism. When you kind of feel that, ooh, anxious, ooh, not done. That's when it hits perfectionism, and we want to continue moving beyond that. All right? Yes. Y'all feel me. Okay. So let's continue. The next one on the list. So number one was real fear. Number two was echoes of fear. Number three is perfectionism. And number four is the inner critic. The inner critic. That voice inside your head that says, who do you think you are? You're not good enough. You should have started a long time ago. You're too old. You should have done it before you had kids. If you would have started sooner, you would be better and you'd be fine. But nope, not for you. Inner critic. We all have these, right? We all have these, and some of us stronger than others. Now, there is a word that my friend Karen Moses, who I used to teach with in the business of yoga, some of you were familiar with that old business that I had, that she taught me actually, and the word is dissuasion. Dissuasion. And dissuasion is the opposite of persuasion. So persuasion is the voice that tries to convince you to do something. Dissuasion is a voice that tries to convince you not to do something, okay? And so this is what the inner critic comes at. All the rationalizations and the critical reasons. So the inner critic isn't just about you, like you're not good enough, but it's also criticizing the idea or the growth in the first place. It's gonna be too expensive. I don't know if I have enough time. I don't know if it's ready yet. I should wait until whatever. I should wait until the pandemic's over. Like, this is the critical voice in your head that's being critical about everything, okay? And yes, Erica, this is a form of self-sabotage, okay? And so this critic, again, this perfectionism, the echoes, it's not about getting rid of them. I need you to understand. I'm gonna keep drilling that in because you're not gonna get rid of them. It's about being able to notice them and expect them to come so that when they come, you don't just keep being run by them in the shadow, in the background, unknowingly, subconsciously, while you're pretending you're not scared, but so that you can recognize them and then step forward and do it anyways. I'm scared, but I'm doing it anyways. All right, so let's get to the next form. So let's see who has them. I'm gonna do a little pop quiz for y'all, okay? Who has all the forms? Type them in if you got them, okay? I'm gonna go through the next one and I want you to type in if you got all the forms so far in your mind, because now we're moving on to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth form of fear, which is distraction. This is a big one. This one doesn't take much explaining. None of these things takes much explaining, to be honest. Y'all know these. And they come up for us. But let me tell you the biggest way. I'll tell you the biggest way distraction comes up for me, okay? Distraction comes up for me like this. I'm sitting down, getting ready to prepare for the kingdom on Wednesday so I could do it early and not wait till the last minute. And then I sit down to work and I look around my apartment and go, you know what? I need to clean up. I can't focus when it's this dirty. I can't focus when it's this messy. I'm gonna clean, I'm gonna do the dishes, and then I'll sit down. Distraction. How many of y'all do this, okay? Distraction is, I'm just that moment when I'm just getting ready to sit down and do the thing. Okay, I'm just getting ready to sit down and do the thing. And now I gotta call my mom. I should check in with my niece. I need to call my aunt, my grandpa. I haven't talked to him in a long time, you know? I can't focus when it's messy. Now I'm gonna do laundry. I really should meal prep this week. I really should make sure, I should really meal prep today, right at the moment when I was gonna do the other thing that I'm really supposed to be doing. I should really try this recipe. Or a friend calls, right? A friend calls, somebody calls, and instead of you clearing the call, you're like, oh, let me just answer real quick. and then there you go, right? You're gone. So this one, we all have all of them. Y'all laughing because we know, right? This is how fear shows up. This is how it shows up. And we think that these are just like normal happenings in our life. But if you expect it, if you have these forms, you'll catch it. Oop, I'm scared. Apparently, I'm scared. Okay? So let me tell you the next one. Now, the next two are going to be a little deeper because these ones for me, I feel like are the easy ones. And this one, check this out. Anybody who's followed Brené Brown is going to know where this one's coming from. Conspiracy. I call this one conspiracy because this is what it is. A conspiracy. This is how fear shows up as conspiracy. I'm going to put the quote. This is Brené Brown's quote. Conspiracy is a story with limited factual data points that you fill in with your own values, ideas, and beliefs. And we do this with projects, we do this with our coworkers, we do this with our bodies, we do this with dating, we do this in every area of our life, right? So this is where, I'll just give y'all a story. I'll give y'all a quick story. So I met someone, right, not too long ago. And it was somebody who I may have been interested in dating, right? Maybe potentially. But I just met the person, right? And I start making up all these stories, right? No, I shouldn't spend too much time talking to them because if I spend too much time talking to them, I'm going to get distracted from my work. Or nope, he lives far away, so it's going to be, you know, long distance. I'm not into a long distance thing. Nope, if I do this, if I do that, right? Like, and I caught myself. I said, oh my gosh, right? I start making up all these stories. Now catch me here. If I would have just let the conspiracy continue, what I could have kept doing or what I would have kept doing is I would have called Brenda. Brenda, should I talk to him? Should I not talk to him? I'd have called my mom, you know, talking to friends. Should I do this? Should I do that? Pulling tarot cards? I don't know. Mm-mm. I caught it so quick. It took me about one day because I was in my mind kind of, ooh, should I talk to him? Should I not talk to him? I'm not sure. Making up all these stories about him. And then I remembered, oh my gosh, I'm scared. I've been single for 2.5 years, working on my book, working on this, and now there's somebody who piqued my interest just slightly, and I'm scared. So I'm making up stories. I'm making up stories. And this is what we do, right? And so what happens is when we don't know that we're in fear, when you don't catch it, when it comes disguised and the conspiracy comes and hypnotizes you with its elixir, then you just spend all this time and energy going down the road of fear. And so there's a way that you break through this, okay? I'm gonna show you. So when you get stuck in a conspiracy, this is what you gotta do. And I sit down and do this every time, okay? How many conspiracies have y'all made up? This is what you have to do, because we do this about our work, our relationships, our jobs, we do this about everything. I literally sit down and I either grab a piece of paper and a pen, I usually do write this, or I'll do it in the notes in my phone if I'm on the go. And this is how you break through conspiracy. You sit down and you write, these are the facts. So in the situation that I was just in, I write, what are the facts? Fact, met this dude, he's cute, he lives here, and he's cool. Like, that's it, like facts, period, okay? Then here we go, this is what I'm making up. What am I making up? I'm making up everything else. Literally, this is gonna happen. It's gonna distract me from my work. I don't know what's gonna happen. It's gonna be a long distance relationship. I don't even know this person, okay? This is what I'm making up. So once you then name what you're making up, you can differentiate between the two. Now here's the third point that's essential for everybody. By getting hooked on this fake story, what I'm avoiding feeling is blank is what? What are you avoiding feeling? So in my case, what was I avoiding feeling? Processing it with you all right now. I was avoiding feeling scared. I was avoiding feeling rejected. I was avoiding feeling like I fail or make the wrong choice because in the past, this is where the echoes come in. In the past, I may have been in relationships with people that I thought was right and then it wasn't right and it got me distracted from my purpose. So I had echoes of that fear coming back, thinking, telling me that I might get distracted again. But really now that's not gonna happen in the same way because I'm stronger and I've been through it and I've learned from it. So do you see how these overlap, right? My inner critic, all of them are starting to overlap, and they can overlap to create these conspiracies. Okay? Now, this is super important. We all do this. And one of the things, I'm going to go back to this quote, is this. Conspiracies, what's super important to remember is that conspiracies get us hooked and stuck in this idea of what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this, what if this negative thing? If we're in a conspiracy, we get stuck in what if. And this quote from Shelley Tagelsky, who's here in Asheville with me. Those of you who are on the Liberation Experience, you'll see us together tomorrow. I'm super excited. This is Shelley's quote, and I have this saved in my phone to remind myself anytime I get stuck, is this. There are two types of people in this world, Shelley says. The what ifs and the why nots. Don't be a what if. They are paralyzed in their analysis. Be a why not. Why not me? Why not now? Why not us? Why not believe? And then see what happens next. Why not believe? And then see what happens next. And so when we can name and understand that we're scared, this is why the inner work matters, then everything changes, okay? Then everything changes. So I want you to watch for the conspiracies that you make up in your own mind. And they're not sometimes even that big of a deal, but they hold us back. For example, I remember when, you know what, I'll just ask it more as a question. How many times have you wanted a new workout routine or a new diet plan or a new, you know, business idea or a new song or a new something that you've wanted to do. And you're like, but what if this happens? Or you make up all these things that are just you. Remember in the beginning, I said fear and faith, same coin, flip sides. So when you're in this, what if this negative thing happens? What if this demise happens? All this shit that we make up. That's when you're choosing fear. To choose faith, you go to that question that Shelley said. Why not me? Why not now? Why not see what happens? Doing it anyway. All right, so let's get to the final form. Indecisiveness. Indecisiveness. This is a big one, okay? Indecisiveness. And this gets people left and right because the thing is we constantly, so many of us constantly, we get stuck in these spaces. And then we can't decide what to do because we're so stuck in the analysis paralysis. And when we get stuck and we say, we can't decide, I don't know what to do. You just need to make a move. This is one of my favorite quotes from Stay Woke, okay? It's this one right here. The worst place to be is stuck. Make a choice. You're gonna learn lessons either way. And so when you're in that space of spinning and spinning and spinning and you wanna make the wrong choice, oftentimes what we're so afraid of is that we're gonna make a choice and that choice is gonna make one of our conspiracies, our fears, come true. Do you see how this all connects? And so we end up not making a choice or making the choice that our fear is telling us to make because we're afraid of the conspiracy that we've created in our head versus having faith on what God, Spirit, the universe, all that you believe in. I know that you all believe in an abundant universe that has your back. I know you believe in this. And so why are you believing in fear right now? Why are you doing it? We all do it. But right now is your moment to choose differently and to wake up. And what I want you to remember, okay, is that fear is a marker. It's a marker It's not something to avoid. It's something to notice. It's like an indicator, a flag in the ground, showing you that you're avoiding something that will help you heal or help you grow. Anytime I'm afraid, I always go, okay. I don't go afraid, like, dig into the fear. I go, oop, you're afraid. And normally when you recognize it, when you like kind of come out of the spell, when you know you're on the right track, it almost feels like these clouds part. You've all had the feeling, right? And then what happens is you almost have joy, sudden grace. You almost, like, when I recognized the last time I was in fear, I started laughing. I was like, oh, what? Like, I'm in fear. I'm scared. And it's so freeing when you shine the light on it, when you become aware of it. Because then it's like, ah, now I'm asking a better question. What am I afraid of? What am I avoiding? And how am I making my life out of trying to avoid this fear? And then I move in the other way. And I do that thing. I'm scared, but I'm doing it anyways. Are y'all with me today? And let fear be your compass, because the fear, being clear on that, the fear is a compass and it's showing you, ooh, you're actually moving in the right direction. But the fear makes you think, no, move the other way. But the fear is actually telling you, yes, girl, yes, boo, move that way. We're going through it. We're going through that fear. And one of the things, I'll give you this last piece before we do our practice, is this. If you can read this, this is one of the things that I constantly said to myself that I've finally, thankfully, started to overcome and then continue to have to overcome, is sometimes the reason why we let fear take control is because we have this subconscious belief that something's going to go wrong and that there's no way things can be that good. There's no way it can be that good. That is blasphemy on your connection to spirit. That is blasphemy on your connection to God, on your connection to your faith, on your connection to the possibilities and the gifts and the blessings that have been in front of you. And you've all been so blessed and you know it. It's blasphemy because it can be that good. And so we get into this statement. A lot of us have done this before, right? A lot of us have done this before, where we say, it can be either or. I've covered this a couple weeks ago, okay? And we want to start getting into a both and. And so when we're in this either or mentality, we get stuck. We get stuck. I did this the Abundance Week. If you haven't watched the Abundance video, watch that, okay? We get stuck because we think, oh, it can't be this good. So then something's going to go wrong. There has to be fear. This isn't going to make it. And then we let fear take control. Mm-mm. You are protected. You are divine. You are golden. You are magical. The universe has your back. It's allowed. There is a way that it can be that good. Let it be that good. Brenda always tells me, Justin, stop putting limits on the universe. Stop putting limits on the universe. Let it be that good. How's that for a teaching today? So, let us practice. We're going to do a short practice now. Very short practice, but I think one that will be very powerful for you all. Okay. We're going to go back. Now that you have the clarity around these different forms of fear, okay, and I'll just review them for you all really quick. It's real fear, echo fear, perfectionism, inner critic, distraction, conspiracy, and indecisiveness. Let's practice. Hands over the heart. Eyes closed if you'd like. If you don't want to close your eyes, that's okay. You can keep a soft gaze, okay? You can keep a soft gaze with your eyes slightly closed or open. And now, knowing everything we covered today, I want you to think of three things that you might be afraid of. That these hidden, sneaky, disguised forms of fear might be coming in to try to stop you. Three things. Just give yourself a moment right now. If you can't think of three, it's okay, but try. They don't have to be big, mind-shattering, life-altering things. Where are you indecisive? Where are you perfectionism? Where are you stuck? Where is that inner critic? Where are the echoes coming in? Where are the conspiracies? And we're just gonna hold in this silent space for a moment. And open your eyes when you're ready. And then type them into the chat box. And if you're uncomfortable typing them into the chat box, don't worry, I won't say any names as you're typing them in. If you're uncomfortable typing them in, just write them down for yourself. Writing them down is a big deal. It really helps a lot, okay? Write it down. Beautiful. All three. That's right. So that we can see and name and hold each other in this space. You know, one of the things that has been so powerful for me, and I played the video of me singing Here With Me live in the beginning of today's session. And I remember the first time I was ever going to play piano and play Here With Me. And I was so scared, y'all. Like, if you look at the video, I had the editor edit these out, but if you look, no, I'm not even exaggerating, at the video of the camera person doing a close-up of me singing Here With Me, the very first time I played piano and played it live, my hands were doing this, literally doing this as I was playing. And like, nobody could tell, right? But they were majorly trembling. And I remember the camera guy coming up afterwards and he was like, I think I'm the only one who saw that. Thank you so much for letting me see that. Because he was like, I would have never known that someone like you would be so afraid. And I was terrified. The inner critic came in telling me that I was going to mess it up, that I wouldn't sing it well enough if I was also playing and singing at the same time, that I should just let the keyboardist do it. Then I'm looking at all the forms, right? The conspiracies that I made up. Y'all should have seen how many stories I made. I was going to mess it up. The whole band was going to mess up. I made all these stories about it. Perfectionism, saying I'm not going to get it perfect. I'm not going to get it right. Echoes of fear came in because when I was a little kid and I was in a gospel choir kind of class at our local community college, I got to sing a solo one day. And one day when I got to sing the solo, my nerves went nuts. I was like 13 or 12. My nerves went nuts and my legs started like shaking. Like, no joke, y'all. Like, I was gonna just stand up and show you. I was like gonna sing, I'm gonna show you. And my leg literally started shaking, like all over the place shaking. And I had to stand up and do the performance holding one leg in my hand. And ever since then, that echo came because I was like, oh my God, what if I shake so bad again that I won't be able to do it? So the echoes came through. So you see how they all come up. And then I was indecisive. I was telling the band, I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. And then I took my own medicine and I said, boy, you are terrified. You aren't just scared. You are so scared. You are terrified. Come along, fear. We're doing it anyways. And so that is the exact message and the exact lesson that I want to give to all of you, is that none of us, teachers that you see, none of the leaders that you see, the authors, the healers, and everyone in between, one of the things that I think some of us have had the blessing to master, and why I wanted to pass this on to you today, is because we have learned that fear comes along. And we've learned to say, I already can expect that I'm going to be scared. And we do it anyway. And I want to make sure you have that too. It's one of the tenets of people who are successful, people who are creative. And I'm not just saying successful with money and followers. That's not what I'm talking about by successful. Y'all know I don't care about that. I'm talking about success, meaning you are living the life that you want to live. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? That is what I'm talking about. So, as we close, what I'd like us to do is take a moment to talk about our power action, and then we'll do the golden nugget and we'll leave. So here's your power action. I'd like for you this week to do something that steps you slightly, or that steps you out of your comfort zone. And here's what I mean by this. There's two ways, you'll see at the bottom here, of stepping out of your comfort zone. I call these two ways. Way number one is the lean-in method, and way number two is the dive-in method. And both ways work, but you have to choose which one works best for you. So here's the deal. When we talk about stepping out of your comfort zone, there's two ways to go about this. So let's pretend on a scale of 1 to 10, your comfort zone is a 5. So we got the scale of 1 to 10, and your comfort zone is a 5. So the lean-in method means that stepping out of your comfort zone means you just do a 6, okay? And then once you do a 6, then you do a 7. Once you do a 7, then you do an 8. I do this method all the time, right? So that's the lean-in method. We just take 1 degree out of our comfort, just one little boop, 1 degree out. I've been doing this as I've been learning how to play guitar. I was like, okay, I'm gonna play like this. Okay, now I'm gonna add this. Okay, now I'm gonna try this. So like you just keep adding little by little, right? I did this with the kingdom. I started with this software on Crowdcast. Then I added the other little software in. Then I added the videos in. Then I added, you know, so like just keep adding. So a lot of times the lean-in method, you think about it like this. It's instead of thinking that you have to go from A to Z, you go from A to B, from B to C, from C to D. And for some of us, that's a lot easier to step out of our comfort zone. Now, the other method is what's called the dive-in method. And I like this method sometimes too. Sometimes we just need this version. So where the lean-in method says A to B, B to C, or says just take a 5 or a 6, the dive-in method says if your comfort zone at a scale of 1 to 10 is a 5, do an 11, right? Like go all the way in. And that method works for some of us too. We just have to blow our consciousness, like blow ourselves out of the water. I've done that so many times as well, right? My first time performing piano live was in front of 400 people. That was a dive-in, right? And so sometimes we need the lean-in method and sometimes we need the dive-in method. So my desire for you all this week is to pick one of your fears, lean in or dive in, and type here into the chat box, if you're gonna do it this week, I commit. So this is why, this is one of the most important tenets of the kingdom for me. One of the most important tenets of the kingdom is that it wasn't just about inspiring you and giving you tools and knowledge, because that ain't gonna do shit. It's about giving you tools to take this into action in your life. And so this is where I pass the baton to you. Action. Try it. See what happens. I love seeing your commitments coming through. Beautiful. So as we close, our last little bit here, y'all know this, I do this every time, and if you're new, this will happen every time, is to take your golden nugget. What is the thing that you want to take away from today? So hands over the heart, eyes closed. And I want you to just think of all the things that I taught you today, all of the things that came through. What's the number one thing that you would like to take away from this session today? Number one thing. If you can just think of one thing, and then I want you to type it into the chat box and commit now to sharing that one thing, okay, with everybody you know today. You're gonna share this because this is how we spread this knowledge out into the world. If you're gonna post something about this on social media today, post your golden nugget. This is wonderful. Welcome to the kingdom, everybody. I just am so grateful to have you all here. It is an honor and a privilege that I don't take for granted. And this is the power of fear. The power of fear. So, you know what I just decided right now in this moment? To practice this comfort zone thing with you all. I did not plan this, okay? I decided, just right now, that I'm gonna sing here with me to y'all. Because this is a song for me, okay? Here With Me is a song for me that I sometimes have a hard time singing because it's so high, that I feel like I have to be warmed up for so I can get it perfect, that I feel like if I don't get it perfect, that it's gonna be terrible and I'm gonna mess it up. And so I'm gonna step out of my comfort zone. So, with all my love for you, the kingdom, this is Here With Me. I wish you were here with me. I know you're in the air I breathe. I wish you were here to see everything made of me. All I dreamed has come to be. So why can't you be next to me? A feather falling from your wing is leading me, is taking me. Whoa, no. Whoa. Just to hear your voice guiding me. Yeah, yeah. Whoa, no. Whoa, no. I'll never be the same. Oh, no. You're the anchor when I'm offshore, the star in my darkest night. You show me what to fight for. Don't tell me that you're gone, 'cause I wish you were here with me. I know you're in the air I breathe. Whoa.
I praise you, I miss you. I miss you, I love you, I thank you. Yeah.
I'm scared, but I'm doing it anyways. And I hope you do too. I love you. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love for you to rate it or subscribe. But most importantly, to send this episode to a friend or to someone you love. The only way we're going to see change in this world is by each of us spreading messages of hope into the corners of the world where only you can reach. So send this today to someone who needs it. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. This is Justin Michael Williams, signing out. I love you, and I'll meet you right here in this special place in our next episode, where we rise.